Well, I read something else last night, so I may have to retract that. That's 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's one of them, though. It's very important to. Yeah, that's where he did say all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. And he didn't record anything that he didn't feel was important. So to him, to God, all the passages are the best passage in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't put it in there if it wasn't important. So that take care of the red letters too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most people say, well, all you have to do is just get the red letters. That's all you need to know. So they don't realize the doctrine of the scriptures. You know, that's we're going to get to Samuel. I was just thinking of something. I was reading something, and it said this, where in Luke, and it says it in different places too, where he says he took the book, they gave him the book of Isaiah, and the scripture said, and he opened his mouth. And every time I see that, you always know, I look at it, when the Lord opens his mouth, that's what?
The scripture.
The scripture.
Yeah, word.
Because the inspiration of God actually means, it means God breathed. Mm-hmm. So when he opened his mouth, and when he said it, when they got through, it said, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And that's where, when we get through reading, I do, you wonder at the gracious words that you just read. That's, I bet they said, isn't it? And they did. Isn't this Joseph's?
Isn't this Joseph's son?
Not this Joseph's son?
You know what they say? How did he get that? How did he get that?
Any good thing come out of Nazareth?
That's what they said. All right, Samuel, chapter 2 Samuel, chapter 7. We'll actually start at verse 1. I know we read, we won't go back and do it over, but, and it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Well, we can see that we have studied through Samuel up to this point, and David has come a long way. So he is, obviously, he's filled with gratitude for what the Lord has done for him. And when we get down there where he says, and he went and sat before the Lord, and he thanked him. Verse 18, we'll back up. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? So David is He's full. He's full at that point. Do you remember that passage in Exodus where... Exodus. Yeah, it's in Exodus. Where Joseph, when he met his brothers... Mm-hmm. Do you remember that passage? Mm-hmm. Let's flip back there. I just want to hold your hand to Samuel. Look back at Exodus. You know, that's Genesis. Not Exodus. It's Genesis. I think it's later than that.
You're talking about when he sees them when they come, he's already in second command?
42, I think it is, around 40, 42. 42. What'd you say, Karen?
Nothing.
Annette was talking. I didn't quite hear you.
45.
Just,
when you were trying to find it, I
was asking. 45.
When
he
was
second in
command in Egypt
when
they come there to buy grain.
Yes.
Yeah,
45. When he revealed himself. Yes, that's it. Yeah, 45. Thank you. 45-1. Mm-hmm. Then, let's see. Well, they come in, and he had arranged to them for them to all be in one room. Look at verse 28. 27. He says, "And thy servant, my father, 44. I'm sorry, 44.
And 27.
Yes. You know what? I'm sorry. Let's go back a little bit farther. Okay. Look at verse 18.
Okay.
44:18. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. This is when Joseph had hid the cup in Benjamin's bag. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. So he wants to see his brother. Mm-hmm. So he's setting the stage for them to come in. Now look at verse 27. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to the Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father? So he set him up to whoever's got the cup can't go. And Benjamin's got the cup. And they're saying, well, you got to let him go because my father, he said, I like that. He says his life is bound up in the lad. Mm-hmm. So if something happened to him, he'd just die. And what we went back there for this verse, verse 45:1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And that's what I was thinking about. He was so full of emotion, so full of joy, really, that he saw his brothers again. And that's where I feel like David, when he heard that what Nathan said to him back in Samuel, he says, after all he's been through with the Lord, and the Lord says, you know, I've taken you from the sheep coat. Back here with the sheep to the king of Israel, all he's been through, and then he goes through here and he's delivered him from all his enemies. He's gave him peace round about from all his enemies. And he sits down there and in his gratitude, he says, I have to build the Lord a house. It's not right that I sit here and the ark is in curtains. But he's not thinking like God's thinking. God's way, way ahead of him. So he does this. He goes in verse 20 and 18. He says, Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, Lord?
Oh, now we're back to Samuel.
Back in Samuel.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say go back to Samuel.
No, not to Samuel. That's all right. Well, we got it.
But it's all right.
All right.
We recognize David wasn't in Genesis.
I'm almost sure I said, let's go back.
Okay.
Okay.
We're back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 against one. I'm almost sure. Okay. Let's go back to Samuel.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So he goes in, and it's, notice, it's before the Lord. So he, yes.
Okay. Where, Samuel?
18.
18,
yeah. He's before the Lord, so he knows that he's cognizant. He knows that he is, this is nothing superstitious. Mm-hmm. You know how people say prayers, but they're just praying into the air? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he realizes, he said this is before the Lord. He knows that this is a communion. David has a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not, I think somebody said, was it last week where you're talking about the Catholic? Well, maybe it was on the tape where one of the tapes that Lisa was talking about the Catholics when they were going through their little rituals. And that's all it is a ritual. They don't have a relationship. Well, I won't say it like that, but religion is not a relationship. A ritual is not a relationship. Church going to church is not a relationship. Going to Sunday school is not a relationship. A relationship is when you realize that it only comes from the Word. It only comes from experience with the Lord. And we experience Him through His Word. That's how you get a relationship. And when David, as the years, I believe David is probably about, he may be around 70 years old now. And he has been, what? You don't think he's that old?
Oh, I'm listening.
Okay. Yeah. She stopped. Jeez. But anyway, He's been through some things, and he sat before the Lord, and he says, "Who am I, Lord, that thou hast brought me hitherto?" I did skip some things. I want to go back to verse 10. Moreover, he says, "I will appoint a place for my people." Verse 10. Mm-hmm. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. So instead of the Lord, David making the Lord a house, the Lord says, I will make you a house. And he's not talking about brick and mortar. He's talking about building David's lineage up. Okay. His building up his family line or his family tree, so to speak. And you notice he said that, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people and have caused thee to rest, we know that he brought the judges up because of their disobedience. Mm-hmm. They have no right to be in the state they're in right now. Right. The reason that they're in this position right now is because of God's grace to them.
Amen.
Now, can you remember the verse? Can you remember a verse that tells you why they shouldn't be in this position? Can you remember a passage of scripture that tells you about what they had coming to them?
The blessings and the curses.
The blessings and the curses. You know where it is?
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy?
All
oh, yeah. All right. I mean, if you're out there talking to somebody, you can, you know, you pull it out and you show them. Mm-hmm. But they were all in line for the curses. Mm-hmm. Because they were working on, if you do this, then I'll do this. And beginning with Moses, from day one, they always said, we'll do it, but they never did it. They picked up with Joshua. They says, yeah, we'll do it with you too, Joshua. And they'll do it for a while, and they never did it. And they raised up judges, and the Lord said, he says, even though they were I'm paraphrasing this, even though they were disobedient, he says, nevertheless, despite their actions, the Lord raised up judges to deliver them out of the hand of their enemies. So he was gracious all throughout that time frame. Then they picked Saul to be king over them instead of
the Lord.
Instead of the Lord. Samuel said this. He says, you have chosen the Lord. You have chosen Saul to be your king. He says, when the Lord God was your king. And he says, go ahead and give it to him. They have not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. So you think about this, and he says, that's all right, Saul. Saul's going to do this to you. Remember what we talked about Saul? He's going to take. And he took. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told Saul that I will, through the priest, he says, I'm going to take it from you and give it to your neighbor who's better than you. And that neighbor was
David.
Mm-hmm. What does God owe them? He owes them nothing. Well, why is he doing this?
He owes him the curses.
Why is he doing this?
For his
name's sake. He's gracious because it's not because of them.
Right.
It's because God is doing something. You know, we talk about, we like to get in on it, and what can the Lord do for me? But it's bigger than us.
Amen.
It's not you go out there with your hand out. It's God's doing something, and he's going to do it in spite of you. And I think the height of all grace is that he's using you in spite of you.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's giving you a little piece of
it. He's giving you, right. He can come down and he could raise up rocks to do it.
Right.
But not only does he show them their unrighteousness, their ungraciousness, their unthankfulness,
yes,
he shows them his righteousness, his graciousness, his mercy. Doesn't he?
Yes. Amen.
So he says in verse 12, he says, and when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now he gives outlines five things here that he will do, doesn't he?
Okay.
He says, "I'll set up thy seed that'll proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom." Right?
Mm-hmm.
"I will establish the throne of his kingdom. I will be his father. If he commit iniquity, I will what?
Chastise him.
Now it's a good thing he put that in there. Because this little phrase here, it not only covers Solomon and all of David's line after that, but he's ultimately got Christ in mind. And we know Christ didn't commit iniquity, right?
Right.
That's why the Lord has to put what?
Jesus.
If. He put the if there, if he does it. But we know that he didn't. He never committed iniquity. Solomon did. And Ed said something in one of his lessons that this was a man who had everything. And he said, "I withheld nothing from me." The wisest man in all the earth, and yet he still succumbed to the flesh. When I heard that, I thought it was amazing, because he says, "I've done it all." And he says, in the end of it, it was all vanity. And that's just...
And that's such a lesson for all of us. Because every one of us is setting out to achieve something. And
right.
The guy that achieved everything. And he's saying it was worth nothing. Yeah.
And when he finishes up, he says, here's the sum of all the matter is this. You know what he said? Fear God and keep his commandments. And it... I've heard that, I said, wow. I said, that was so powerful, because that's what we do. We spend life on a cage, a rat in a cage, chasing after something. And we don't know. Okay, you get that, but then it's got to be something bigger. Then it's got to be something more. Because anytime you look for things, you look for answers, you look for peace, you look for happiness, joy, contentment outside of the Lord, it never works. That was we'll get back here in a second, but I remember talking to a girl, and she says, "How come I can't find a good husband? I just want somebody who's going to love me for me." And this was a saved girl. I said, "You need to turn to the Lord." I said, "You are looking for something in a man that only the man could give you. You won't find it in another person. You won't find it in your... I don't care if you love your wife dearly, but there's some things that she just can't provide for you that the Lord will. And vice versa. Any relationship." Do you believe that?
Yes, absolutely.
And what people do is set themselves up for failure.
Yes, that's true.
When they start looking at it, because what they do is this. They say, they wake up and, "Oh, I love him. I love her." Or a few weeks later, the stars will wane. And then what happens is, what happened to Lawrence and Sharon? "Well, so I don't love him anymore." Like, it's the emotion has waned away. The novelty has waned away. But love, God's love, is this. Is to value and esteem the other person. And that has nothing to do with emotion. That's against emotion.
Yes.
Because emotionally, we are selfish. We want to be ahead. We want to be first. That is, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me?
Right.
I'm tired of giving in this relationship. What about me?
Mm-hmm. That's the world's way, friend.
Amen.
That's the world's way. That's our way.
That's what I mean.
We make the world up. Right, it's us.
It's me, 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 yeah.
And Paul said, and we'll get back here after this, Paul said that he says, you once were darkness. Yeah. He didn't say you were in the darkness. He said you once were darkness. So it doesn't matter what you feel about yourself. Deep down inside, you're like Solomon said, it's all vanity. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, your actions, your pursuit of happiness, it's all vain. Mm-hmm. And he says, back in Samuel, he says, if he commits iniquity, which he won't, the Lord won't, he says, I'll punish him who strikes man, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. Then, 18, then David, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say any more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thy... There you go, Karen. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And you can say that again, as David says, he says, if that weren't enough, he said, it wasn't enough for you to set up my seed. He said, but you've spoken of it for a long while to come. Where he's, can you imagine that now? Here he's got nothing really, David. He's got nothing to offer. Everything that has happened in his life, the Lord has brought him to that point. And the Lord says, what can I say? What more can I say? He said, you've spoken of not just setting me up, but even after me. And he's got Christ in mind. That's where I think about the Lord's plan. It says, who had known the mind of the Lord that they might instruct him? Yeah. David, he doesn't know what's going on back here. But he knows that I'll have a seed and I'll have a kingdom that's established forever. Now, I was thinking about this. I'm going to use this chalk right here. Giving her heads up. I don't know. But, Roy, here's the cross right here. I think of it. We'll just use it that way. Everything that God is doing is centered right here. Mm-hmm. We started out in... You got the garden. He made a covenant with Adam. Mm-hmm. Didn't he? Mm-hmm. He said the seed is coming, right? Mm-hmm. We know who that seed was, right?
Right.
Well, bruise his head, bruise his heel. It goes back. Let's see. We got Noah. He destroys him with a flood, but he makes a covenant with Noah too. Only reason he was able to make that covenant was because he saw that he would be able. We're going to use this. It was like the ark. They get the only way he was able to deliver them was because he was a type. The ark was a type of him.
Okay.
Was it not?
Yes.
That's what Peter said, right? We over here at Moses. Who's that? Abraham. We over here with Abraham. I'll put Abram. We already know that, right? He gives him a seed, which is Isaac. Actually, everything's in here. He's got the land. He's got a kingdom. He's got the king. Right? And the people. all those, the circumcision, all that, all that's bound up in this man right here. And the reason he was able to do that is because his son, Abraham, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Okay.
Right?
So, I got a question for you. So, in a sense, all those guys you're pointing out, that it points to Christ, it's God would have been unrighteous to forgive them if it wasn't for the cross.
That's what, and right. That's where everything, but so far we're all focusing on what? The land.
The land?
This thing right here, that David's, when he says, I'll set up thy kingdom for a long time to come. Well, it was a long time before that too. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was a really long time before that.
Yeah.
And it's going all the way through here. You got Abraham. He gets Moses. He gives the same thing to Moses. He gives him the law. Moses has got, he's got the people now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He makes the covenant with them. But the thing is, they're forgetting, well, the Lord thy God will raise up a prophet like unto me. He says, you got to hear him. And we know that this is the old covenant. We'll just put the law there. So they're getting real close here. They're getting real close. They got, now he's right at the promise. He's right here where he's promising them the land. But the people, he's got a problem with the people. But you don't get to the new covenant. You can't get the new covenant until
the old covenant is put aside.
To the death, and the testator is the seed. So we're going to stop right there for right too much on that. But he gets up. One more thing. He gets here. Now we got. He gets to David. And when he gets to David, he says, all that back there, this guy right here, he says, and even this prophet right here, this guy, that type, this king, he says, all these things. He said, now, he said, David, here's what I'm talking about. He says, I'm going to make you a house. I'm going to make you a house. And the Jews asked him, he says, Lord says, let me ask you a question to the Jews. He says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Do you remember that question?
Yeah.
What did they say?
Some say, oh, who do men say that I am? Is that what you
want? Let's look at, I think it's John. John. Chapter.
That's where they say, you're Joseph's son.
Not John. Matthew. Matthew chapter 20.
Talking to Peter?
No. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. 22 verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. And he said unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. He's trying to show them. He's, when he says, what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? If David's the senior, he can't say, Lord. Could he? You wouldn't catch Ed saying to Stephen, Lord, unless he had what? Authority over him. Right? They never recognized him. They says, what think ye of
Christ?
They didn't believe he was the Christ. They didn't believe he was the seed. They thought he was Joseph's son. So he asked the question. He says, well, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, he's David's son. And he says, well, how does David in spirit call him Lord if he's his son?
So he's proving to them that in a sense he could exist.
Right.
Come through David's seed.
Because he's saying that this is who I am, and they're saying you can't be him.
Right.
And he says, well, let me ask you a question then.
Right. Exactly.
Didn't he say that? All right, look at Acts chapter 2. You can't beat the master at his game. Because he'll back you right to the corner where you have to say, it's him. Now, Karen's been talking with a lady, conversating with a lady, communicating with a lady, and they teach these people to believe like the scribes and the Pharisees. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say, he's David's son, but he's David's son, but he's not God. He's
then that proves he's not God.
That's so how doth David in spirit? How does David in spirit, speaking by inspiration, how does David then call him Lord? If he's just a man, if he's just an offspring. Acts chapter, did I say 2?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Let's start at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Why was it not possible? Why was it not possible that the grave could hold Jesus?
Because he was God.
Because he was God.
Yeah.
And in order for his promise to David to come to fruition, to come true, there's no way that he could stay in the grave. He had to be resurrected. Because he spoke of his seed to come for a long while. Didn't he? There's no way he could stay there. And everything hinges on him getting up. You said it last week. This is the receipt for what we have. Right? When he says that he was resurrected for our, he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. If the deal didn't get done,
we're done.
That's right. It would be just like this. here lies Jesus. Wouldn't it be that? Like Pilate, he says, put on his tombstone. Put on his cross. He said. They said, King of the Jews. He says, no, put on there that he said he was King of the Jews. Well, guess what? Guess what now? The one that it said, Jesus, here lies Jesus. Guess what? They can take that off now.
Amen.
And clean it out for somebody else. Couldn't they?
Yes.
Because he wasn't there. Acts 2, verse
25.
23. Did I read 23? Him being delivered, I'll say 24, whom God had raised. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sharon. For David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. You know what David knew? This is a commentary on what the Lord told David. David knew about this. He knew about it. He says, I might be going, but I know I'll get up and I know I'm going to see him. He says, I'm looking forward to it. Didn't he? Okay. Verse 26. Hang on a minute. Okay.
What exactly did David know? Because we know 1 Corinthians that had they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So what did...
Had who had known?
If the prince of this world.
Meaning who?
The people.
Those that were controlled by Satan. Those that...
Was it those who were for Jesus or those who were against him?
Against him.
Okay. So David was what?
He was born, but they're quoting the Old Testament here.
Right.
The Old Testament was just like the Lord got up and read Isaiah. It was available, so getting back to my question, what did he know? What was in the scriptures? They still kept it hidden from the guy who the Lord said, oh, you're so great. Nothing can be hidden from you.
Because the thing that when they were going along, had they had known what would happen afterwards, had they had known what was all invested in it, because he's thinking this, I have to control, I have to stop him from reigning. They didn't know, the princes of this world, they didn't know that what would unleash the power was the resurrection.
But so
they thought, if I get rid of him, it's done.
So what then David know?
David knew, number one, that he'd be resurrected. Number two, that the son, that his son, his Lord, would be the one through whom it would come. He knew that.
Say that here in the
but, yeah, look at
Acts. It says it here.
Yeah, let's read it. Verse, where are we here? Where is it? Yeah, 30. Let's read 29 again. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and gone, dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. Therefore, being a prophet. What does a prophet speak?
Speaks forward.
What does he speak? He speaks prophecy. He thinks what? He speaks from inspiration.
Okay.
Now, he doesn't always understand what he's telling forth, but in this case, he did. He says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up
Christ to sit on his throne.
Solomon.
Christ to sit on his throne.
Elkanah. Whatever his other sons were. He had 11 sons. He said he would raise up who?
Christ.
To sit on?
throne.
Because here, when back here, when we're reading in Samuel, when David went in and sat before I'm back here. When David went in and sat down before the Lord, and he says, "I'm going to make you. I'm going to make it happen for a long time to come." We just got a little glimpse of what was recorded, but the Lord, he says, "Let me tell you something else. This, 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 this," and he, David. What do you think the Psalms are? Who wrote the Psalms?
David.
Psalms 21, 22, 23, 89, 102, all those. He's telling you right all over and over again about his son. What my son will do. Look at Psalms. Hold your hand right. Look at Psalms.
Don't leave this verse.
Don't leave that verse.
31.
All right, let's finish 31 then. Let's. Okay. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before,
right.
He, who's he?
David.
Seeing this, seeing what?
The resurrection.
Seeing this before, spake of the
resurrection
of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Let therefore all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ."
Amen. I see where my confusion came in. So, I mean, he saw the resurrection. The part that was referred to in Corinthians is knowing what that resurrection would mean.
Right, and they didn't know. So Satan, when Satan took him up to the wilderness, when the Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, what's going on back there is
it's probably our guys coming.
Oh, okay, it's the qualifying round. He says, "You say that's who you are? We'll see if I can trip you up. Because if I trip you up, you disqualify." Right?
Right.
So he goes in, he says, "Do this. Do this. Do this." And he says, "Can't do that. I can't do that.
It is written.
And I can't do that." He says, "Okay." And he says, "Do this. We'll do this. We'll do this." And he says, "I can't do that. I can't do that. And I can't do that." And he left. He says, "I'll see you down the road."
Okay. Yep. Can I make another comment on that? In a sense, in answering Karen's question also, is that neither did Peter know what Christ had told them. Neither did he understand until Christ opened their minds to understand.
Right.
Did they understand, even though they'd read all the scriptures?
Right.
They had him there teaching them, and yet they still didn't understand until he opened their minds to understand. I don't think he opened Satan's mind to understand.
No.
His minions, you know,
right.
So I think that was part of it too. Is that they were still, "We got to kill him. We got to kill him."
Exactly, because they said if he's who he's saying he is, and they could, he says, a man approved among God by miracles, signs, and wonders. They saw it.
Mm-hmm.
They said that it was by many infallible proofs.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew it was him.
Like where you showed us back in the Old Testament, it says that they came up out of the graves, and back there when they came up after the resurrection and went to the city, that the people should have been saying, Ezekiel 37.
Oh, look, there is. John said this. He says, and many, many other things he did.
Can't write about it.
He said, if we wrote about it, the whole world couldn't contain the books of the things he did. When the Lord left the earth, he said, right, he says, now they have no cloak for their sin. I've exposed it all. I've left them with it's. When Peter, when he's saying repent and be baptized, he's got something to talk about. He says, and you know what he says? He says, and I know you did it through ignorance. They must have been really, really dumb, because the proof was abundant.
But to me, that's the perfect picture. Is here's the Lord. He knows what he came for. But here's Satan trying to kill him, when exactly that's what God wanted.
Right. Right.
Peter trying to save him from being killed, which that's exactly what God did want.
Right. Right. Good point. He told Peter, he said to Peter, what?
Satan.
Thou savorest not the things that belong to God, but
Amen.
He says, Peter, don't tell anybody who I am. Don't tell anybody who I am. I've got to go to the, I've got to die.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, no. This won't happen.
Yeah.
He says, take the back seat, Pete. I got a plan here.
Isn't that kind of similar to David saying, well, I'm going to build you a house? And then God says, don't you know that?
I can see, Lord. He's right. He said, you'll build me a house. Right, right. Let me show you something, David. I'm going to build you a house. And then when he said it, he says, that kind of house. Oh, wow. Look, he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. What day? That day. The resurrection. How did he know that?
He knew it from the promises that God had made from him. And that he knew that God could be trusted to what he did to Isaac. That if the Lord said it, the Lord was going to fulfill it, even if Isaac had to die.
He was fully persuaded that the Lord could do all of it.
Listen, all right. Hebrews. Hold your hand. Where were we?
We weren't at.
All right. Hebrews.
Keep going forward. Right.
Keep going. Keep going forward.
Hebrews 11.
I'm going to have to really have some help here, because I don't have Hebrews anymore. My Hebrews is disintegrated. 11 verse 17. Somebody.
I'll let somebody else read,
because
I don't have a
king. Okay, I got it. I know what it is. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What promises? Right here.
Land,
kingdom, people, all, blessing. He said, he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said of Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to what?
Raise him up.
Raise who up?
Isaac.
Even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. Right. He's saying, when Abraham says, he said this, he says, we're going to go up and worship. Mm-hmm. And they get up there, and he says, I see the wood. I see the fire.
See that fire?
Where's the
fire? Here, right. And he says, he says, the Lord will
provide himself.
The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Now look, most people think Isaac was a teenager. I don't believe that he was a teenager.
He was a young man.
I think he was very. I think
maybe
he was.
Maybe Maybe even 33.
I like that. It's good speculation. But you know what he tells him? He says, I don't say that. That's speculation. But Isaac gets up there. You think Abraham wrestled him onto the altar and tied him up? Present thyself
a living sacrifice,
holy and
acceptable.
He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Look, don't you know Isaac knew who he was? That he was a promised seed?
Yeah.
Both of those men had faith. They went up there and he's, this is just speculation. This don't have to, they went up there and when he gets up there, he says, I don't see the sacrifice. He says, it's going to be you, son. We're going to trust the Lord on this. It's going to be you. And he says, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. I love you, Pop. Hug, kiss. I'm just making it dramatic. And you can strike all this. It's just for entertainment. And he gets up there. And as soon as Abraham gets ready, he says, wait. He says, go get. Now I know. But Abraham was fully persuaded, wasn't he?
Fully persuaded. And he told the servants that.
He says,
we'll come back.
Wait right here. I and the lad are going to what?
Return.
Worship.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come again unto you.
You know, even the Lord in Philippians said he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. That's exactly what I said. He humbled himself and said, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to
That's, and it, so Abraham, he says, he whence from whence he received, from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. He says, just like this, that's how you're getting, that's how you're going to be a blessing. It's from the seed to come. When he said he spake of the seed, not seed as of many, but seed as of Christ. Didn't he say that in Galatians? So we see all this stuff is pointing to this one man. And, I got to stop. I'm sorry. So we'll stop there and try to pick it up.
Good luck.
Next time. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We just pray that despite the presentation, that we have learned some things that we could meditate on. And Lord, just reveal your word, your will more and more to us each time we come. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the fellowship. And we thank you for your son who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Feel good.